happening! The great danger is here!
Me not believe you, Og. Me not feel danger with my own eyeballs yet.
But Och, 97% of scientists say it's happening now!
Me believe the other 3%, who say nothing to worry about. Want to be left alone like me, Og.
Scientists say ice sheets are melting and collapsing. Waters will rise. Much calamity is coming.
Me hear one ice sheet is getting bigger. See? Everything fine.
But that's inconsequential compared to the other ice sheets collapsing. 10 times as much.
Me read on denier log that one ice sheet grew a number bigger.
Yes, but others shrank by 75%.
Me still believe scientists who think like me. They more positive. Not yell at me like you, Og.
But, Och, I'm trying to tell you, it's happening. We're in this together.
No, you with your 97% scientists. Me with my 3% scientists. They more fun. They not scare me.
But flooding, famine, and death are much scarier than me.
It's too expensive to do anything about anyway. Me fine.
Och, it's actually surprisingly cheap, especially compared to destruction, wars, and abandoning our caves.
Me sure someone will think of something.
But we've already thought of something. We've just got to stop talking and do it.
You just trying to scare me.
Can't you see what's happening right in front of us?
Me no believe you, Og. Me still not feel danger with my own eyeballs yet.
Och.
Look, Og. The Northwest Passage does exist. See?
Hey, listen, this is Micropower Radio, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. I want to say thanks to all the Micropower listeners out there, and also want to welcome DJ Nast. Hey! And here with me, with little Eddie Abbey, DJ Eddie Abbey. And this show may be offensive to some climate deniers in our listening audience, so stick around for that theme and other fun, crazy stuff, as well as some fun Micropower beats like that there in the background from Low End Theory. I'm furious!
Income inequality. A good way to figure out which side of it you're on is whether you're currently paying for HBO or stealing it.
Last December, some of you laughed a little too hard at that. Last December, the president made it clear that income inequality was going to be a big priority.
The combined trends of increased inequality and decreasing mobility pose a fundamental threat to the American dream, our way of life, and what we stand for around the globe. I believe this is the defining challenge of our time.
Yes, the defining challenge of our time. Well, one of the two defining challenges of our time, the other being Candy Crush level 97. That is hard. I've got a lollipop hammer and I still can't. The point is that the president said the word inequality 26 times in that speech, which everyone took to mean one thing.
Income inequality is going to be the thrust, one of the major themes in 2016.
Members of the Senate Democratic leadership team, that's Harry Reid on Dan, are clearly going after this income inequality issue.
For Democrats, it's an all-out assault on the issue of income inequality.
An all-out assault. You better watch your ass, income inequality, because you're about to get violently ameliorated. Or you would have been if they hadn't almost immediately backed down.
A new article says President Obama appears to be shifting strategy on tackling income inequality. The Washington Post reveals Democrats are split on the issue, leading President Obama to shift talk away from the subject.
So basically, income inequality has become just another topic of conversation we prefer to avoid in America, like Japanese internment camps or that time that we gave Roberto Benigni an Academy Award. You know, national tragedies, equally wrong. There is a key reason why no politician wants to talk about it, and that's because every time someone tries to, this happens.
Is President Obama engaged in class warfare?
Class warfare.
Class warfare.
The politics of class warfare.
Trying to drive a class warfare argument, use that hashtag class warfare.
Okay, that all sounds silly, but the phrase class warfare is so toxic, the president actually had to stop talking about the thing he describes as a fundamental threat to the American dream. And this was so predictable that 3 years ago, he actually gathered a group of historians and told them, what you could do for me is to help find a way to discuss the issue of inequality in our society without being accused of class warfare. To which they presumably said, yeah, we can't really help you with that, although we can tell you what Warren G. Harding named his penis. It's not what you're thinking.
Over the problem of it. And to me, I think it raises the one terrifying possibility, which is that contraception isn't a real medical need, and that scares me. The other is that maybe that this religion is somehow just a real religion, and that the court is inserting itself into the business of deciding when the Jehovah's Witnesses come along and the Scientologists and the strict Muslims, that their religious claims are less privileged. That's equally terrifying.
Whether moderate or severe, are remarkable events because of the almost universal susceptibility of the world's population to infection.
Let's get together.
4th of July weekend, think about the authors of the Declaration of Independence who had the courage and nerve to stand up to the British Crown and say, enough. And think of the everyday people, regular people, who then put themselves on the line to back up that declaration. Those patriots have their counterparts today in the fight against the modern tyranny of organized money and its chokehold on our government. These champions of grassroots action are fighting for a rearrangement of power, not from the left or from the right, but from the bottom up. They too are saying, enough. No one speaks more powerfully for them than they do for themselves. One of their best known has been agitating for ordinary people for most of his life. Like the circuit riders of old, spreading the word, Jim Hightower is forever on the road, speaking, riding the electronic rails of the internet, appearing on radio and TV, preaching the grassroots gospel. He's had firsthand experience of politics and government, both as a legislative assistant on Capitol Hill and as the two-term agriculture commissioner of his native Texas, where he fought for small farmers against the giants of agribusiness.
Honest, but we've got to be brave enough to do that. It's been inevitable in every big movement, even the women's suffrage movement, had violence against those women. And we certainly saw it in the civil rights movement. We see it in the environmental movement. The movements that have come along and succeeded have had to put their, not just their selves on the line, they had to put their heads on the line. And more and more people are doing it. Again, something like the fracking movement. People are taking abuse and under arrest.
But Jim, the Occupy movement, for example, started in 2011, spread around the world. It had wall-to-wall coverage from some 24-hour networks. Everyone was talking about it, and then it disappeared.
Well, one, it didn't disappear. It went into the countryside. There's a group called Occupy Our Homes that has helped to save at least hundreds, if not thousands, of people from Citigroup and Goldman Sachs and
JP Morgan
Chase. It gets local press, but very little press. Yes, but they are still out there. But what Occupy did was to change the discussion.
But just because politicians can't talk about income inequality doesn't mean we shouldn't. And before we do, let me just say, no one is arguing for complete, perfect equality. We are not going to live in a world where we pretend that all Baldwins are equally talented. I mean, look, there's Billy and there's everyone else. That's a fact. Inequality is a bit like cinnamon. You definitely want to have a little of it to spice life up a bit, but too much of it can be very dangerous. We are at cinnamon dangerous levels right now.
The wealth gap is getting worse. A new analysis shows the richest Americans, the top 1%, made nearly 20% of all the available income in America last year. That's the widest income gap since the roaring 20s.
Thank you.
The party that never ended. That's what made the 30s so great. Just more 20s. And the thing is, income inequality affects everyone. It can actually hinder overall growth. And just to be clear, income inequality is by no means just an American problem. Globalization and technology means that the gap is rising all over the developed world. It's just rising faster here. In fact, in the United States, the income ratio between our richest and poorest 10% is now 16 to 1. At this point, the rich are just running up the score. If our economy was a Little League game, someone would have called it by now. But what sets America apart is that in this time, we have actively introduced policies disproportionately benefiting the wealthy, like cutting income tax and capital gains tax rates for the richest in half, as well as that weird tax rebate for orgies with fancy Eyes Wide Shut masks. The password is Fidelio. In a democracy, policies that benefit very few people at the expense of very many would not be able to succeed, but they have. And I think the reason for that may lie somewhere in America's greatest quality, optimism. It's basically in how susceptible Americans are to this.
We have never been a nation of haves and have-nots. We are a nation of haves and soon-to-haves, of people who have made it and people who will make it.
Yes. No. Hold on. That sounds great. The problem is it makes no sense. Economically, mathematically, or even grammatically. And yet we believe him. We believe him. And there's a poll that I think explains why. A few months ago, Pew Research revealed that 65% of Americans believe the wealth gap is increasing, and 60% believe our system unfairly favors the wealthy. But, and here's the key, 60% also believe that most people who work hard enough can make it. Or in other words, yeah, I can clearly see this game is rigged, which is what's gonna make it so sweet when I win this thing!
Quero bem.
Chiclete, mastigo Doridor.
Te choro,
chuvinha chuviscou. Chamego, me deixou.
Adorador.
What if you could get a new bathroom work?
Quero bem.
Quero bem.
Chiclete, mastigo Doridor.
Are accused of lying in order to get inside homes. A Durham officer admits they'd knock on doors claiming there was a 911 call from the house in order to serve arrest warrants. But the police chief says it was never actually an approved tactic by the DPD. Tamara Gibbs live now at police headquarters with a memo sent to officers.
Inside a Durham County courtroom, a police officer admits under oath that he lied in order to gain entry to a home and serve an outstanding warrant. He knocked on a door claiming police had received a 911 hang-up call when in fact it never happened. It's the reason why Durham's police chief sent out this internal memo obtained by Eyewitness News saying, effective immediately, no officer shall inform a citizen that there has been a call to the emergency communication center, including a hang-up call, when there in fact has been no such call. We spoke with Chief Lopez by phone today. He emphasized he's only aware of this single incident, but we had to ask.
Chief, do you encourage your officers to do this?
This was never encouraged, this was never trained, and we want to find out what led him to believe that this is something that he should do.
An internal investigation is underway. If it proves to be true, it's a clear violation of department policy and in some legal circles, a violation of the Constitution.
Chief, if you learned that these allegations are true, would this be a fireable offense?
If it is sustained, then we're going to have to look at our discipline and to find out at what point of culpability the individual has and then work at it from there. It is a progressive discipline.
Other city leaders are towing a tougher line. In a statement today, Durham city manager says in part, if confirmed that this tactic was used, the city manager agrees that it is entirely unacceptable. This tactic is not a policy nor an acceptable practice of the department for any reason.
Long promised road flows to the source, gentle force, never ending.
I love the most about this country. I love that you line up around the block for TV talent shows, for talents you objectively don't have. And everyone feels bad when a person who is inevitably and revealingly British does this to you.
It sounded like two three-year-olds who've got flu trying to sing.
I didn't find it funny, and I like to laugh, and that wasn't funny to me.
I don't know what that style was. It started off like bad food poisoning.
Without any doubt, the worst act I've probably ever seen.
You may want to be smart and start acting like an arrogant. Your mashed potatoes are bland.
Wow! Wow! Hold on! A British person just told you your mashed potatoes were bland. That has got to hurt. Is that we're raised in a rigid class system where we have all hope beaten out of us. And your optimism is overwhelmingly positive, except when it leads you to act against your own best interests. Look at the federal estate tax. That's the tax that gets paid on inherited wealth. It helps to limit the terrible possibility of a permanent landed gentry. The idea that a house can be passed down through the generations until some dipshit blows the fortune on a Canadian railway company, you fucking moron! How could you do that, Lord Grantham? The family was counting on you! And yet, the estate tax here is routinely on the verge of being abolished. Politicians call it the death tax and get applause for saying things like this.
My own view is we ought to kill the death tax. You paid for that farm once, you shouldn't have to pay for it again.
Except it's almost impossible that a farmer would ever have to do that. The federal estate tax does not apply to 99.4% of all farm estates. It also doesn't apply to 99.86% of anyone's estates. Basically, if you're not comfortable calling your accumulation of shit an estate, the estate tax probably doesn't fucking apply to you. And yet, the thing is, a man worth $250 million gets applause for saying, let's get rid of it. Under current federal law, heirs don't have to pay taxes on the first 5.3 million that you leave them, meaning that you and your wife can leave your kid more than $10 million tax-free. And relax, that is more than enough to turn Chauncey into the world's biggest piece of shit. You, Chauncey! No 16-year-old has a destination birthday party.
By God, thou shalt have no other rights before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any false idol, unless made of fabric, glue, and knick-knacks purchased at Hobby Lobby. Thou shalt not take the name of any corporation in vain, lest we fire you immediately with cause. Remember the Sabbath day, verily a good day for online shopping and auto sales. Honor thy supervisors as your father and mother, for they best know your contraceptive needs. Thou shalt kill the competition with super selection and super savings. Thou shalt adulterate what it means to be human. Thou shalt steal victory from mere mortal beings. Thou shalt not bear false witness unless it enshrines your religious beliefs in the law. Thou shalt not covet the coming corporate rights. Hear this, as foretold by the great prophet Alito. Go sin no more, and await the coming of glorious corporate personhood. Brought to you by Hobby Lobby, the place to shop with everyday super selections and super savings.
Inequity, the 1% versus 99%, smack dab in the middle of the 2012 presidential election. It made it possible for media everywhere to begin to talk about that, or it, in fact, have to talk about it.
Over $5 million applies to almost nobody. But one reason it's constantly threatened is that people assume that it will one day apply to them.
I don't have a $5 million estate. I'd like to someday. But if I work all my life and I pay my taxes on my income, and then I die and I want to pass on what would be great if it were a $5 million estate to my kids, why should I pay the government again?
But you won't be paying it! You'll be gone! In fact, this is the practical embodiment of everything you want. This is the government literally taking your money over your dead body. And also, let's be clear, the existence of an estate tax has not prevented Americans from passing on a load of wealth. Of the billionaires on the Forbes 400, 71 inherited their fortune. And another 56 inherited at least a portion of it. That's nearly a third of the list. And our habit of handing money down from generation to generation perpetuates another disparity, perhaps explaining why, of the Forbes 400, only 0.25% are African American. And to answer your question, yes, it's Oprah. Oprah is the person. You were right. Good guess. America now has a system where wealth is essentially dispersed as a lottery of birth. And maybe the reason we seem to accept that is that even though we know the odds are stacked against us, we all think we're going to win the lottery. Experts even appear on TV advising us how to handle our future winnings.
Well, I think the first thing should be to create a plan.
Set up a trust, probably hire a couple security guards.
Do you take the lump sum payment or the 29-year annuity payment over time?
I would take the one-time cash chunk because it allows you to do a whole bunch of things that you might want to do in your life. If you win that kind of money and you still have young children, make sure you put it in a trust.
Oh, absolutely. Because it is never too early to start protecting your imaginary lottery winnings from crippling estate taxes. Segment on how to handle being attacked by a shark while scoring the winning touchdown at the Super Bowl, or things to say on your third date with Beyonce. And watch how it would be great. That would be great. And there's a chance. Technically, there's a chance. And watch how depressed we get by useful, practical advice.
Would you tell people, maybe take your $5 you're going to spend on the jackpot and put it elsewhere?
If you can invest that money 20, 30 years down the road, that is going to be a much better, there'll be much better odds of having a secure retirement than hoping on the lottery.
It's not nearly as fantasy, though.
No, it's not.
So much more practical.
Gets really angry. Goes back and squishes him.
Please don't mess up this financial segment with practical advice. We're Dreamweavers here at News Team 12. Take that shit over to News Team 5. Look, the whole point is, if American wealth is a lottery, we are increasingly playing two different games. In fact, I'll show you. Who wants to play America Ball?
DAPU 7. We have a North Carolina cop that has come out in court and exposed the whole agency using lies to illegally get into people's homes and search those homes. Now, these new allegations against this North Carolina Police Department unfolded when Officer A.B. Beck was put on the stand in the courtroom and was told to cough up all the information that he had on what was taking place. This man stated that he went into a woman's home and that he lied. He showed up and he told her that he was there to inspect her home because of a 911 call to the address. The cop proceeded to go in on this lie, and once he was in, he found marijuana and he started to draft up charges. Now, he was called out on this, he admitted this, and he tried to state in court that this was part of the policy. He admitted to fabricating the 9/11 story to enter the house, but testified the intent was to serve a warrant, though he never produced that warrant in the courtroom. He goes on to say that the 9/11 ruse was permitted under a department policy in case there were domestic violence issues. None of that part of this situation. Nonetheless, this blows the lid off of all their lies, trying to state that they're coming in for this and that. So this is something that I think everyone needs to see.
Because people we're talking about, it's not just the kids and the people who are at those camps around the country of Occupy, but the public support for it was overwhelming. And that generates a momentum.
I agree with you, and yet people have kept talking about it, and as you know, the inequality gap, the income gap, the wealth gap gets wider and wider like the Grand Canyon.
Remember the Sabbath day, verily a good day for online shopping and auto sales.
Well, yes, but you can't just wait for it you can't just give up. That's your choice. I mean, do we just quit?
I'm not afraid to days go along regularly over and over, and suddenly...
Oh, you can't chat so much. You gotta turn up your mouth. You can't do DJ.
No higher.
Hey everybody, this is Furious G, and we're just signing in to just crank out the last few minutes of beats here for this hour. Before we get too deep into it for the next hour, I just want to say this is WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough, Micropower Radio, 103.5 LPFM, low power, but micropower beats. And we're going to be playing some more of that for a little bit more, including some... fun stuff. You're hearing Lou Kid in the background. We're playing lots of Low End 37, and also going to be spinning some more of this crazy stuff with Booyan coming up here. So if you like that, and also the funny, crazy beats about anti-corporate personhood or sounds and shouts out against the wealth gap and income inequality and how the grassroots are growing up to fight against greed, you can learn more about the Furious G Show by going to furiousg.blogspot.com and see all the old shows there. Or go to wcomlp.org and you'll learn about our crazy cool studio station here. So if you like what you're hearing, you'll like doing what you're doing right now, listening for a number of different shows here on this awesome station we got downtown Carborough. I'm Furious. I do it every Thursday. I've been doing it for about 20 years. Coming up here pretty soon. But I'm going to send you away with more of this fun beats. In the meantime, thanks for supporting Micropower Radio. I'm Furious.
Trying to make an LP.